gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Loy, who you can also tweet or
whatever.
Something the kids are doing.
Hal Sparks has been direct tweeting me.
Hal Sparks will be with us live for a magical hour number three on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hal Sparks is everywhere.
You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice
deity. Almost like Jesus.
Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller.
And if you want to get my tweet, you can go to twitter.com/radioguychris.
Keep your tweets to yourself, mister.
Sound a little peppier about it, would you?
What?
Tweet me.
You're not very peppy about it.
I don't understand what it is. All right.
Oh, tweet yourself.
Also, Representative John Adler, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, on the Newsmaker line. And, oh boy,
yeah,
there's going to be some fisticuffs in about a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Biederman, am I saying that right?
Biederman?
Biederman.
Biederman?
It's probably his Biederman.
He's the CEO of Ashley Madison.
Oh.
As seen on The View and Larry King and I don't know.
And
whatever.
Everywhere.
And Stephanie Miller.
And Stephanie Miller in about a half an hour. He's the CEO of that dating service.
Yeah.
With quotation marks.
Yes, that, well, it's for people that want to cheat on their spouses. All right. And are we running ads for that?
Computer says yes.
Are we taking a lot of heat for it?
Computer says yes.
Yes, we are.
However,
we should.
It's a free country, and this will mark the first time I get to bitch slap one of our advertisers right to his face. Normally, you got to be an unbelievable suck up.
You know what? He's married and has kids.
Hmm.
Really? Now,
yeah,
I wonder what his
up.
Lovely wife thinks of this.
I'm sure
we'll
that
ask him what
she
is the
loves
lovely
spending the money he brings in from such a
what does
website
the lovely Mrs. Madison think? Is her name Ashley?
No.
Right. Oh, maybe that's the name of his mistress. We'll
actually
ask him.
That was the name of an actress who was dating James Woods.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Why do you know that?
Why does Jim know anything? He has more weird facts lodged in his brain than anyone I know.
You know the name of James Woods' mistress?
Ex-mistress?
Ex-girlfriend?
It's all over the web.
All right.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean about the tweeting and the web and the weird things that lurk there?
Yeah.
All right. We will be getting to many hot topics today, including the president on Afghanistan, Pakistan, Al-Qaeda.
The United States has made a lasting commitment to defeat Al-Qaeda, but also to support the democratically elected sovereign governments of both Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Yeah, well.
Oh, by the way, there have been airstrikes in Pakistan this morning.
Really?
Yes.
By whom?
Well, I just saw it on the Chiron on CNN. I haven't gotten any details yet.
I would guess by us.
Possibly.
I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say once again.
Well,
I'm going to say not Burkina Faso.
Pakistan has broken its peace deal with the Taliban.
Ooh.
And Al-Qaeda. So.
All right.
Yeah, so things are moving along over there.
We'll
in
meet again. Don't know where. Don't
newly,
know when.
Newly freshman like Senator Arlen Specter, who might be learning to keep his trap shut these days.
Senator Reid said that I would maintain my committee assignments and that my seniority would be established as if I had been elected in 1980 as a Democrat.
Computer says no.
That was before your thoughts about Senator Norm Coleman. And
yeah.
We'll get to that in stand-up news in just a moment. And, hey, Representative Eric Cantor, how's that Republican rebranding listening-type tour going?
This is not a listening tour.
Oh.
You know, think
oh
about what we saw a couple weeks ago on the Tea Parties. The American people are very frustrated that they really see a government in Washington that doesn't hear them.
Mm.
So they want to you to listen to what they're saying? Well, that sounds like a listening tour to me.
Huh. And is anybody out there listening or no?
Is anyone out there?
Computer says no.
And, of course, you really have to see all the numerous times Eric Cantor went on the TV machine to say, oh, we need a listening tour. Oh, my God, just go, we're just out listening tour.
And yeah, then Rush Limbaugh mocked it, and then they're like, this is not a listening tour.
It's not a listening tour. That's crazy.
Rush really is the
leader.
Yeah. Wow. That is
you know
scary.
Later on, we'll play a soundbite that says Dick Morris saying that Ann Coulter should be the spokesperson for the GOP.
Good idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yes. That'll work.
Yes. All right. Sorry, I had some M. Coulter's toenails caught in my throat. I misspoke. Okay. And meanwhile, just because everyone in the free world has sent this to me, here's an actual Canadian commercial for Molson Beer from 1965.
I think. Or it might have been made to look like it was from 1965. Mm. Yeah.
Up here in Canada, we've got some really nice beaver, and lots of it. Sometimes we get more beaver than we know what to do with.
Yikes.
To get into our homes, our places of business, we have to chase them out. When you're chasing beaver, nothing refreshes like an ice-cold, easy-drinking Molson Canadian. Mm. How's it going there, Steve? Molson Canadian. What to drink when you're chasing beaver.
I'm thinking that might have been tongue-in-cheek, eh?
Maybe it was back during a time when it wasn't commonly...
No. This is a remake, I think. It's a modern-day commercial made to look like an old
1965,
commercial.
1965, yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think we can all agree that beaver at work is that never really works out.
They couldn't have had that kind of double entendre back in 1965 at all.
I had a friend that in our neighborhood, we called her Beeve. We called her Beaver because actually it was her front teeth kind of protruded.
Mm. You didn't
realize. You were mean, weren't you?
No, I didn't. It was just the neighborhood nickname. And I'm just saying nobody thought of
it
like that. We were little Catholic kids. We didn't. She looked like a beaver. All right.
Oh, my God. You just did anything Carol Fisher told you to do.
You know what I'm talking about, Maura. All right. Her name was Maura. It was my best friend's little sister.
She might be listening in Buffalo right now.
The Beeve. Okay.
Hope she married a guy named Les.
Her name isn't Maura Richards anymore.
Maura Les.
Oh, I'm so nervous. Okay.
Maura Les, get it?
All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, the headline, Obama dines with economic critics. President Obama said that in an interview he wanted to have critics of his financial policies, like economist Joseph Stiglitz, in for ongoing discussion.
Hmm.
How about that, listening to people that you don't agree with? Huh. Less than 2 weeks later, Mr. Obama shared roast beef at the White House with pointed liberal opponents of his banking policies, including Stiglitz and Paul Krugman, whom we know. And other left-leaning economists, the president listened and questioned while his guests pushed for the government to be more active in the banking system.
Hmm.
We have the president on this.
Last night, I had several of my severest economic critics for dinner. The menu included Robert Reich, Paul Krugman, and Joseph Stiglitz. I must say, I thought economists would be dry and boring, but this crew were pretty tasty, almost gamey with some salty overtones. Mr. Reich was served as a starter, poached and served in aspic. He was definitely a delicate morsel. Mr. Krugman was served en papillote with some garden vegetables and a beurre blanc. Very tasty and aromatic. And Mr. Stiglitz was braised in stock and wine and served over rice pilaf. One can only say, succulent. I was supposed to dine with them and not on them. Well, let me ask you this. Just how do you think a Chicago poll is going to treat his critics, Nobel Prize or not, who are hawking him at Chinic about how in the bag to the banks he is? These bozos could blow the whole deal high, wide, and handsome, and I'm supposed to spend the night buttering them up. Well, I got news for you. I did spend the night buttering them up and pouring gravy on them, too. My work is just starting. I still have trillions to shovel the bank's way, and I can't let any eggheads with Keynesian ideas be pooping in the punch bowl. You dig? Besides, we're going to eat for a month on the leftovers. Should go great with Michelle's garden veggies. Hey, Rom, could you come over here? We got to do a little damage control.
Oh, no.
He misunderstood the concept.
I like Robert Reich. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
And Paul Krugman.
Oh, gosh.
He's gamey.
I've always found him gamey. Oh, could I have the tiny violin, please, Christopher? The headline, Meltdown, Specter Stands Alone. Harlan Specter infuriated Republicans when he bolted from their party last week. Now he's alienated just about everybody in the Senate Democratic Caucus, too. Since declaring himself a Democrat last Tuesday, Spector has defied Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and the White House on virtually everything that's come down the pike. The budget, mortgage reform, the Al Franken Norm Coleman race, even President Obama's appointment of Don Johnson to head the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. All the while quibbling over whether he said he'd be a loyal Democrat and insisting that he had an entitlement to transfer his Senate seniority from one side of the aisle to the other, the blowback came Tuesday night. On a voice vote, the Senate voted to strip Spector of his 29 years of seniority, effectively transforming him in a blink-and-you-missed-it moment from one of the most senior senators in the body to a lowly freshman on most committees. There were concerns about his actions, said Senator Debbie Stabenow, whom we know. She's the chairman of the committee which sets the assignments. In a statement released Wednesday afternoon, Spector said that Reid had promised him he could transfer his seniority. Senator Reid assured me I could keep my committee assignments and none of it have the same seniority. If I'd been elected as a Democrat in 1980, I'm confident my seniority will be maintained under the arrangement I worked out with Senator Reid.
Whatever.
The Pennsylvania Republican turned Democrat seemed to know he'd be doing that from something akin to a freshman status. Senator Sessions, who just selected the wood to take a senator's former spot as a ranking Republican on the judiciary, asked Spector where he'd be sitting during committee proceedings. At the end of the other side of the aisle, a dejected Spector responded, "We have Joe Biden, I believe." On
Marlin, if you just come to me. Trust me, when it comes to putting my foot in my mouth, I know all about living with a size 12 wingtip parked on my tonsils. Remember my homage to Neil Kinnock? That was a doozy. Cost me a nomination. And the whole clean, well-spoken routine about Obama early on in the primary campaign. And just last week, I shot my mouth off about swine flu and traveling and blah, 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 blah. Hey, they don't call me the super gaffomatic for nothing. So I could have told you just to stuff one of your jowls in your mouth for a month or two and everything could be copacetic. But no, you had to shoot off your big gravelly app about how you weren't going to be a loyal Democrat and how you're going to keep your seniority and how you don't like EFCA. And then you voted against the budget. Now, I know we're dealing with Democrats here, and by and large, they'll bend over for anything a Republican dishes out. But you forgot. You switched. Arlen, don't you know the most dangerous thing to be around a Democrat is another Democrat? You think you would have figured that one out a long time ago. Being a crusty antediluvian Republican who tells a Dem to get off his legislative lawn is one thing. That'll get you BJs from them. But be a Democrat and say the same thing. Well, have a good time getting the toilet paper out of your eyebrows. Too bad you're old. It's going to be tough getting that 28 years of seniority back. But the way you Republicans last, it might just happen. Just be sure to take your Jesse Helms pills every day, Arlie. Oh, did I ever tell you about the time I...
Yes, repeatedly.
Okay, I'll shut up now.
Antediluvian?
Yes.
Our own Spector's before the flood?
Before the flood.
Toilet paper in your eyebrows. Do you refer to the fact that he was given a swirly yesterday?
Exactly.
That's all for stand-up news.
Wow, it's a callback to yesterday.
He also got a wedgie in addition to his swirly. That's all for stand-up news. If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall,
check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there's a title ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out.
Wow.
All right.
We have a little bit of an update on the airstrikes in Pakistan.
Yes, breaking news.
U.S. forces are not in Pakistan, so it is Pakistan that has hit Taliban targets.
Okay, so that's good.
This is good.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
All right.
Potentially good news.
20 minutes after the hour, yes, there is a fight brewing over Arlen Spector. We will tell you more about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Paul in Indiana is leaving the Republican Party. I'm going to allow you to keep your seniority, Paul.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that because I know a lot of my truck driving friends have left the Republican Party. They voted for Obama. I was one of those who didn't vote for either candidate. I voted independent. I felt that the Republican Party has just grown too big to listen to guys like me. Mm-hmm. In fact,
well, it's actually grown too small to listen to guys like you. That's the problem.
Well, here's the thing. Guys like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, they think they're too good to take our phone calls. We pay more taxes than anybody.
Yeah.
But we don't get the representation. We're not being represented by anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if Barack Obama truly wants change, he needs to sit down with us, a few of us truck drivers, and listen to what we have to put up with. We have less rights than Gitmo detainees right now.
How so?
Okay, let me explain how. When our trucks are our homes,
mm-hmm.
when we go through Texas, or we go through California, or we go through New York, we pay an ungodly amount for fuel taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we're not allowed to idle our trucks more than 5 minutes out of an hour. So if it's over 100 degrees, we bake in our trucks because mm-hmm. we're only allowed 5 minutes. If we had a Gitmo detainee in our truck right now, and we'd be idling in Texas or California, we would be accused of torture mm-hmm. by the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if we have an animal in our truck, we can idle. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we truck drivers don't have that right to keep ourselves cool. That would keep us safe as drivers.
Air conditioning is not a right given to us by the, you know, Bill of Rights.
I don't think it existed when they wrote the Constitution, unfortunately.
Thing. Here's where I'm getting it. It is a medical thing. We've lost 35 drivers last year in my company alone because of the anti-idling laws. Their body temperatures got over 100 degrees, and they died from heat.
Wow. Well, that, you know, that's awful. Yeah, I hear you.
And that's got to be changed.
I hear you. All right, Paul. Well, good luck, honey. The country wasn't such a mess. Unfortunately, there's a million important issues we need to get to.
I'm guessing he's not union.
Oh, we should have asked that. Sorry. All right.
I think the Teamsters might have knocked some heads together.
They might get that done.
Yeah.
That might get knocked to the top of the list. Okay, Senator Harry Reid on the Arlen Specter.
Senator Specter and his chief of staff always were told that we couldn't interrupt any of the subcommittee chairs or the chairs until the next Congress. And his seniority will be determined next Congress.
Yeah, that's true. So this isn't necessarily permanent.
Right. It's just for, you know, this Congress.
However, Democratic staffers said that Reid may have tolerated Specter's early splits with the party if he hadn't simultaneously been so vocal in claiming he was entitled to keep his seniority and leapfrog over veteran Democrats on some of the Senate's most powerful committees. That and his thoughts about former Senator Norm Coleman, probably.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No.
He said he misspoke there.
Oh,
he
didn't know what confused.
He was, easy to do.
He didn't know what he was saying. Okay, friend.
I meant Frankman. Colon, no, that in front.
Listen, he's old, and he said, "What with the what did he say? The swirling of the changing of the caucuses.
Whatever.
That can make you it can make you dizzy."
I gotta sit down.
Exactly. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Well, you've heard the ads for Ashley Madison. Do they make you angry?
They make a lot of people angry.
Oh, they make me angry. We will have the CEO of the company, Noel Biderman?
Bitterman.
On next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, strange lady. You're so sexy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And you know when I get really sexy?
What?
When I get angry. If only someone would call the cops. Who is it, Chris?
The CEO of AshleyMadison.com, Noel Biderman.
Oh, slowly I turned. Good morning, Noel.
That was a great introduction.
You're probably used to being introduced with some amount of
royalty, with royalty behind me. Yeah, not often, but I appreciate it.
Yes. Now, well, I have to say, you have taken your knocks. You've been on Larry King and The View and Nightline, and I mean, obviously, you know what you're doing is really controversial.
For sure it is. Listen, I'm perfectly aware that, you know, the foundation of the American family is matrimony, and people think that I'm causing an affront to that institution. And I guess, you know, my perspective is I didn't invent infidelity. Ashley Masson didn't invent infidelity. And so I'm trying to just create a community where people who are engaged in that behavior can do it safely and securely.
Well, okay. But, you know, I actually have a computer question on that, because I know some people have asked, what if your database gets hacked into? Then it's not discreet, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what if a bank's database gets hacked into, or a credit card? You can say that about anything on the planet. So obviously most companies work really hard to create the right security and put their servers in places where that can't or doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Eight years and no such issue.
What? So morally speaking, first of all, I have to ask, what does the lovely Mrs. Biederman think of this?
You know, my wife is a cheerleader for me in business. She knows that there's a huge difference between my business life and my personal life. I'm home for dinner every single night. I'm a very dedicated parent and partner, and you know, so that's how she judges me on the personal front. And I guess on the professional one, as long as I'm feeling engaged and challenged and enjoying my work, I guess she's happy for me.
But how? So you let me, for people that have just tuned in, Ashley Madison is a dating service for people who want to cheat, basically, on their spouses.
Correct.
Or even if they're just say living together or that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're attached, you know, uh-huh. we don't make that distinction. And there are single people on their site. There's that quintessential mistress is on our service as well.
So you don't have any moral qualms about this, that you're sort of promoting infidelity?
That word is a challenging one for me, because, you know, the basis is very subjective. And I guess I would say, if everyone thinks it's so immoral, then why are so many people engaging in it? I think what I'm the kind of person who says, you know, let adults be adults. They don't need to be legislated in their behavior. If they want to drink, that's their prerogative. That product will kill 80,000 Americans this year alone. And I'm
right.
Not one to stop people from doing that.
Well, listen, it's a free country, and as you know, I'm happy to take your money for ads.
Thank you for doing that.
And I was saying, this does give me the only opportunity to beat up on an advertiser, or normally I have
Correct.
To be the biggest suck-up ever.
Yeah, you do not have to do that with me. Do not worry about that.
And if I wanted to kiss your ass anyway, your service would make me pay for it, I think.
Yeah.
But, nah, all right.
That's $49.
Noel, here's the thing maybe I'm not getting, is why do you need a service to cheat? How does this help you cheat more discreetly or whatever?
The whole business grew up out of the notion. A lot of people looked at online dating and said, wow, what a great profitable space. I'm going to start a dating site for divorcees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The data I found most interesting was that 30% of people going to these so-called singles dating sites were lying. They were attached.
Mm-hmm.
They were in marriages or in relationships and were going to unsuspecting singles and posing as single. And I said, mm-hmm. Wouldn't these people, A, prefer to not have to lie about that and say, I'm attached but not looking to leave my partnership, just looking for some sex?
Mm-hmm.
And two, weren't they predisposed to fork over a credit card? And so here we are 8 years later, 3.8 million members later, tens of millions of dollars
wow.
later, I was right on the money. So that's why I built the service.
So you look at this just as a business thing. You're 100%. Like, I'm finding myself oddly, and I know this is a sliding moral scale, but I see what you're saying, that, it, you know, at least people are being open about it, rather, because it seems like a lot of the pain does come from people lying,
yeah,
you know, no, not telling someone they're married or, you know.
I'm cannibalizing an existing human behavior. The majority of affairs happen in the workplace, and that's potentially destructive. We were talking before about discretion. If you have an affair in the workplace, feelings are going to get involved. Someone's going to lose their job. It's going to end badly. Having an affair with someone on a single date and lying to them, you're putting yourself out there in risk. Going on a place like Craigslist and soliciting a prostitute, we've seen that it can actually end tragically. So ultimately, you're not going to stop human nature. Your DNA is your DNA, and your DNA says to you every single day, whether we like it or not, don't be monogamous. So we have to fight against this. A lot of people just don't succeed in that. And so if you're going to have an affair, go to a community like Ashley Madison where it's safe and secure and you're not going to run into those same kind of issues.
Given what you do for a living, would it be impolite for me to ask, have you ever cheated on Mrs. Biederman?
I've never cheated on her. I guess I'm like the ice cream vendor who every single day is, you know, dishing out
so
ice
you don't
cream.
Need the ice cream, yeah.
So I'm
diabetic
most,
ice cream vendor.
I'm probably the guy most conscious about, you know, infidelity and what it takes to have a healthy relationship. But I'm also only 7 or 8 years into my marriage. Maybe let's have a conversation another 5. Who knows? I don't know.
Well,
I know I'm human, and I know humans are very susceptible to changing.
No, you know, I guess the most recent example that we've seen, though, is Elizabeth Edwards. I don't know if you've watched her on TV.
I mean, I did, yes.
You know, you see the pain that infidelity causes, and you just don't feel any
Well, what I would say is a couple of things.
We all
judged her husband really harshly, in the media in particular, but yet she has found a way to forgive him, at least to a degree. They're still together, correct? And we're also not there. We don't know what happens when, you know, behind closed doors. And so we can sit there and say, oh, how wrong. But what if they didn't have any sexual intimacy anymore? What is a person supposed to do in that instance? It really seems to me to be harsh to say, well, just leave your marriage. I know that's what a lot of people do, and they think that's the right thing to do. But there's a lot of, you know, adverse effects to that. There's a lot of collateral damage from a divorce. And so sometimes, from my perspective, and I look at cultures like that in Japan or in France or in Italy, have much higher reported rates of infidelity and much lower rates of divorce. And I wonder if maybe that isn't a healthier paradigm.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm just a single loser. But here's, I guess, the question I always wonder is, why do people want to be married if they want to cheat?
I think we all get into marriage with the best of intents. But you can look at, for example, the swinging community. I don't think a lot of people say, hey, let's get married and we're going to be swingers. I think what happens is you get married and life makes a liar out of you. It changes you. It changes your perceptions and things change. Family, kids, obligations, stress, whatever it ends up being. Now, some people are really courageous and they go to their partners and say, listen, this isn't working for me. We need to try this, do that. And their partners agree or they work through it or they open up their marriage to new things. But most people are terrified of that conversation, terrified of the repercussions. And so do it behind their partner's back. Mm. And so that's just the reality of life.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, you say, oh, my service exists for people that don't want to lie. But there is lying. They're lying to their spouse, obviously. Lying, they're not saying, oh, honey, could you get off the computer? I have to get on Ashley Madison.
What I'm saying is the service is not about, you know, being deceitful to your partner. Because, yes, we're not an open service for swingers. This is for people who are trying to, you know, have an affair behind their partner's back. What I'm saying is, they can at least be honest within that community, which is, I'm just here for sex. I'm just here for whatever limited purpose I'm here. Some people might be there for more, or some people may expect that they're just there for sex and find more. That can, of course, happen when you deal with human emotions. But ultimately, that's the platform I build, where someone can say, this is self-published, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I need, and that's what's unique about Ashley Madison.
So I take it you don't send emails so that spouses can, you don't send, like, you know, automatic reminders or anything from the site.
Everything is discreet. When they sign up, I don't even know who my members are. If you signed up today, you'd create a username, I don't even know who you are, right? So people ask me all the time, are celebrities on? Are these? I would have no idea. I assume because we touch so many people, there's all sorts of walks of life on there, but I have no idea who joins my service.
Hmm. I you know, given just everything in the news lately, I have to ask you your thoughts on gay marriage, which, of course, is sweet. The country.
Yes,
and so many people moralize about so many things.
Yeah, and back to my original point, like, I don't see any problem with it whatsoever, right? To me, if you're an adult and that's what makes you happy in life, that's awesome. That's great. You should have that right. You should get married. And I think the people, the Puritans who want to look at marriage, there's only one type of marriage between a man and a woman, and that's the only kind of marriage that, and it's a monogamous one at that. I mean, that's their opinion, and they're entitled to their own opinion, but they shouldn't force that opinion on everybody else. And so if people want to have open marriages, if people want to have same-sex marriage, I think tolerance is a beautiful thing, and the more we learn to be tolerant, the better society is.
Right, but, I mean, you got to tell me, any time in the middle of the night, don't you think, you know, gee, I might have been, I may be leading to a lot of broken marriages and kids growing up without, you know.
I think marriages break all the time, and I don't know that infidelity is the causation of those. I think it ends up being, you know, it's as a symptom of what's already been broken. I think that's, you know, the mistake. But, I think
right, but you're making money off promoting it.
But
that doesn't ever.
The other way, what about the marriages I preserve? What about the people who are just, they were at their wits' end and now have found an affair that have made them sexually fulfilled, but maybe they're a better partner now and a better employee or a better boss, a better parent. Who knows? You can't.
Oh, no, I'm just a chick.
Way.
I'm having a hard time getting my mind around all that, listening to that from my future husband. Like, Clank. Okay.
I think, listen, everybody should work on their relationship, but I also know that there's often a disconnect between sexual desire between partners that happens all the time. And so we.
I know, but you can understand people listening right now. Imagining that conversation with their spouse. Oh, you're a better partner to me because you are. Oh, okay.
But those same people will sit there and say, oh, it's fine. Go to a strip club. That's cathartically acceptable. Or go watch some pornography. Like, we seem to have accepted certain cathartic outlets are okay, but yet not going over here. And to me, that's just, you know, one half dozen the other. So if you're letting your husband run around and go to strip clubs or go to Las Vegas, whose entire motto is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, what are you really doing?
Look, there's a whole look, don't touch rule, I think. It's like the 5-second rule when you drop food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think that's a myth that goes on. I think there's plenty of touching that transpires, and I think there's plenty of massage parlors out there that don't just give massages.
True.
All right. Well, Noel, I appreciate
that.
Jim wants more information on that. Noel, I appreciate you having the courage to come on, and don't be late with your check.
Never. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Noel Biederman, the CEO of Ashley Madison. All right. Well, he's a good sense of humor.
He does, and I kind of see some of the points he's making.
David in North Carolina doesn't. Hi, David.
Your hypocrisy is freaking killing me.
Mine?
You're making money on the site. Well, hell, you're letting this guy advertise on your show.
Well, first of all, this is a free country. He has a right to do that. I have a right to have him as an advertiser. I had him on to challenge him about it.
I understand, but why take his money? Why let him advertise if you have a moral problem with his...
We're a business. We're not a charity, David.
Right. But I don't know. And then
what do you mean you don't know?
We're not NPR.
That's pretty honest having him on, isn't it? I don't agree with what he does.
Wait, David, hang on a second.
Hang on. We're gonna keep talking after the break because this is something that sticks in our craw, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Particularly with progressive audiences, unfortunately, this is a business.
Right.
I don't agree with everything that the advertisers advertise. I'd be out of business.
Absolutely.
If I didn't take anyway. All right.
We're not NPR. We don't get money from the government.
Thank you.
We need to sell airtime, and in this economy, we need to sell airtime.
All right. And I have a right to say that I disagree with what he does, and I
absolutely.
Just did.
Actually, the Nazi Party wants to run ads on our show. They're online.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I do have some.
We got a Pro Flowers ad coming up next.
Oh,
send your mom some flowers for Mother's Day.
45 minutes after. There's something we can all agree on. Flowers are pretty.
And your mom and her boyfriend.
No! 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In life for free, but you can give them to
Stephanie Miller.
I want money. That's what I want.
We have stepped in it this morning.
Oh,
it is
yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes
can
after the hour.
Yummy. My favorite.
Eat up, everybody. It's the breakfast of champions.
Yes.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We just had the CEO of Ashley Madison, the controversial dating service, on as a guest, who was running ads on our show.
Trying to save marriages. That's all I do.
Maybe just You're say welcome. The most entertaining part of this hour, unfortunately, was heard off air as Jim Ward impersonated what he thought the CEO of Ashley Madison would sound like. And
definitely not.
Definitely not for air.
No. More like a Sopranos character, really. All right. So I obviously disagree with what he does and express that to him. However, it is a free country, and this is a business. So this will shock you to find out that I don't agree with what everybody advertises on the show, and that's why I had him on to talk about it. He's been on, obviously, all over the place. Nightline, Larry King, The View. Anyway, so he...
What if the Aryan Nation wanted to advertise their next event on the Stephanie Miller
Computer
newscast?
Says no.
No.
What so there is a line that you draw.
Yes.
Okay.
I have some morals. Somebody on the live blog wrote that the caller said, Stephanie, you slut. And I said, what's your point?
Yeah.
Oddly, I saw his point about that, you know, when he, as a businessman, I guess, studied a lot of these dating services, what he found is a large portion of people lie, essentially.
Yes.
They're on the singles dating sites, and they're not single.
Right.
So, you know, he says he's simply creating a site where people can tell the truth and say, yes, I'm married or I'm in a relationship, but I don't want to leave that one, but I need something, whatever. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12. David in North Carolina was bitch-slapping me before the break. Hello, David. Go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate you holding me a break, and I don't mean to bitch slap you, but
that's all right.
I'll tell you what.
Listen, I bitch slapped my advertiser, and that was weirdly satisfying for me.
That's fine. I understand your business. You can advertise and whatever you want. But the problem that I have, and the problem why I left the Republican Party, is because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. So now I switch over. I look at Obama. You guys are more progressive. I'm like, all right, I'm going to see what this is all about. And
right.
All I see is you guys are going to be where Republicans are now. I don't know when, but sooner or later, because you guys are
David, it doesn't. We obviously are not promoting adultery.
Is full enough. First of all, Tim Geithner doesn't, pay his taxes. Would have paid his taxes if he didn't get this darn job.
What does Tim Geithner have to do with Ashley Madison?
Because it has to do with hypocrisy.
David, again, we are not for not paying your taxes. Tim Geithner made a mistake that he corrected. I understand how you feel about it, but that doesn't mean that.
And now he's over going after Cayman Island freaking tax shelters. Hell, he probably got one over there.
Well, he might.
Well, he'll be the first one to lose that then. All right, David. Thank you. Let's go to again, it doesn't mean that I'm not for not paying your taxes, He admitted he made a mistake.
And he paid his taxes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike.
With interest.
Mike in Olympia, you're on the Stephanie. Yeah, that's what happens if you make a mistake. You pay a penalty. Mike in Olympia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I am furious with you people.
Uh-oh.
As I understand this guy, and let me just say this, I don't think you bitch slapped him. I think you were way too nice to him.
Really? All right, well.
My understanding of this person's business plan is that he's aware of a community of people that wish to act immorally and dishonestly and has decided that there is a way for him to make money off it.
We're not the arbiter of morals.
No, but
I agree with Mike about what he does. But, I guess what your point is you're saying you're furious for me having him on?
No. I guess...
talk radio is controversy. You realize that, right?
I'm aware of that.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, by his logic, I assume he would also set up a website for people who want to make drug connections. And the line that you described...
Wait a minute. That's illegal. Obviously selling drugs is illegal now.
So now Chris asked about Aryan Nation. You said you wouldn't do that.
No.
So I'm curious where the line is for you.
Well,
somewhere between adultery and Aryan Nation, is that about it?
I don't even know how to answer that. I guess I'm not for adultery, but to me there is a difference. First of all, Aryan Nation is violent. People have been killed, and to me that would be akin to helping promote violence.
Sure. Sometimes adultery would
which
you
is
really
illegal.
Lead to violence, domestic violence.
I think I think adultery is wrong. It's not illegal. Am I correct? All right.
It is grounds for divorce.
All right. Lavender Pit in Tucson, Arizona, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Morning.
Morning.
It's funny. As a married roller derby queen, I personally would, Mr. Pitt and I have had our rough patches, and being flexible, especially after roller derby, flexible people, you talk it through and you either work it out or you don't work it out if there are issues in that regard.
Well, he knows that you could hip check him into the boards at any moment, so.
He's also a drummer, so he's got that upper body strength to work with. It's a fairly even wrestling match, not going to lie. But the point is, this guy is promoting whoredom, but at least it's an honest brand of whoredom, which I think is a step in the right direction.
I found myself oddly on that sliding moral scale going, at least you're being honest.
My dad used to sell nostalgia porn, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be whipping out the black socks and the fake noses.
All right. Thank you, Lavender. Let's go to Courtney in Sarasota, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Court.
Hey, Steph. I think this guy is just fooling himself so he can sleep at night.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to, let's say you're a little kid and you think, I want to run away from mom and dad. But you're probably thinking, well, where am I going to sleep at night? And who's going to feed me? And who's going to take care of me? And then let's say an adult says, oh, you can come to my house and I'll give you dinner. Then you're going to go. So it's like they're giving a spouse, I'll make it easier for you. Here's a whole community of people who want to cheat with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Yeah, how would you feel if your husband came in and said, honey, this has made me a better partner someone else. I'm a better partner to you. Don't you see how that works?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Someone just tweeted me, and they had a really good point. If we're judging this company, aren't we being the same kind of arbiter of moral values that Miss California was? Aren't we trying to impose our morals on other people?
Well, I personally believe adultery is wrong. I don't believe homosexuality is wrong. So it depends on what you're...
Exactly. It depends on what your morals are.
This show has turned into Philosophy 101 in college, and I'm befuddled. 57 minutes after the hour, Tinsel Talk is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative John Adler, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, on the Newsmaker line this hour. And comedian extraordinaire Hal Sparks live all next hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hal Sparks has some things to say about Ashley Madison.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, I bet he doesn't everybody this morning.
Holy
crap. Isn't everybody
crap.
A little talk show host?
The lines have exploded.
You can email us all there at StephanieMiller.com, or you can tweet Chris Lavoie, as somebody did.
Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
We just had the CEO of Ashley Madison on, who is it's the dating service for people.
People want to tweet people they're not married to.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And they said what?
Listener named S actually emailed me and said, "Hi, Chris. I unfortunately was a victim of infidelity. I was hurt in the worst way. Despite that, I think Mr. Biederman shouldn't be attacked for his business. It's the people who use this service. He wouldn't be making any money if there weren't a demand. Whether this business existed or not, infidelity would still be happening. P.S. My husband wants to come back because the grass wasn't greener on the other side."
Ha ha!
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha! Bastard. All right. I'm just on her side automatically. Okay. Brian in Miami, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
No, we don't know if it's a her or him.
It's a her.
Oh, pardon me.
I would just briefly say that, you know, I know a lot of people have jumped down your throat about this, but, you know, you don't have to like what this guy does. I personally don't like what he does, but I like that I live in a country where morals aren't legislated to you or forced upon you. If people really want to live in a country where it's a crime to engage in infidelity, they can feel free to move to Saudi Arabia or any one of these really hardcore religious countries where they impose it on you, and they can see if they like it then. But in the meantime, let's let adults behave in a way that we might not agree with, but it's
right.
Still
well, you know, I'll give you, Brian, I'll give you another example. We took a lot of heat out here during the Prop 8 battle. We ran ads for Yes on Prop 8. I clearly couldn't have been more against Prop 8. We couldn't be more gay rights friendly on this show. But again, first of all, we don't have a choice of political ads. You know, we took ads for both sides.
Right. We have to take
that doesn't
political
mean that
ads
I
like
agree
that.
With it. And again, we took so much heat for that. I obviously I don't agree with that. And I said it as often as I could on the air. What's the other one, Chris? Oh,
General Motors and their Hummer ads.
Oh,
you
dear
did. You,
God.
You voiced ads
dear
for them.
God, I don't have a Hummer, but people are free to get one. I don't agree with getting one, but you know what? I can't be a hypocrite on that one, as I've said on the air. I have an SUV because I have three. I had three giant dogs. I have two giant dogs now.
Right.
And back when I got into the Lees years ago, they didn't have one that a hybrid that size. So you know what I'm saying? I can't moralize it for other people, but I understand it. I speak out for the environment all the time. But anyway, what a pile we've stepped in this morning.
Well, no, I mean, we're having a really, really good debate about, you know, the service that Ashley Madison provides.
Yes, and then people scream when progressive talk stations go away because, you know, if we're going to be all huffy about what ads we take. And again, there certainly is a line.
Mm-hmm. We're a business. We're not a charity.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Do you know how many crap ads I have to watch every night when I try to see Keith and Rachel?
Yep.
Okay, having ads doesn't do
Yeah, you know, Sue, and that's
anything.
A good question. Why don't people, you know, I think TV, there's a different standard. People don't assume that Keith Olbermann is for everything that runs in the ads on his show.
Oh, my God, the Viagra ads alone. My husband and I'm trying to still find out anybody who sits in bathtubs in front of the ocean. I still have never. Do you know anybody who's ever done that? Why would you
well, maybe if their erection would last
a couple
of 4 hours.
That?
Trying to.
And if I could afford a bathtub that overlooks the ocean, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need to have sex. I wouldn't care. I'd have sex with my money every night.
Yeah.
I'll be over there, my pile of money.
Yeah.
Anyone needs me. All right. All right.
Why are you so distant, pile of money? What are you thinking?
You know what, money? I don't care. All I care about is your size. I don't care. All right. We will continue to talk about the Arlen Specter controversy. He was stripped of his seniority yesterday. Fred Barnes on the Brit Baer Show.
You know, what Democrats want to do is they want to ensure that Specter now votes the straight Democratic line.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, look, I mean, this all but tells him, if you don't vote the way we want to as a Democrat, we're not going to give you any seniority. And yes. Who knows whether we'll discourage people from running against you in the Democratic primary in 2010.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So?
Good, Fred Barnes.
And your
good.
Point is? Yes.
Yes. Go, Joseph.
You're saying that like it's a bad thing, Fred Barnes.
You're actually concerned that the members of your party are actually voting like members of your own party. What? Is that even legal?
It's like the caller that called me a slut over the Ashley Madison thing. I'm like, so?
So?
Your point is what? Okay. Also, a man fight brewing between Rush Limbaugh and Colin Powell.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of little partisan spats.
He's just mad at me because I'm the one person in the country that had the guts to explain his endorsement of Obama.
Yeah, that's it.
It was purely and solely based on race. There can be no other explanation
really?
For it.
Except that maybe you're a big drug-addled gas
bag. Colin Powell needs to do is close the loop and become a Democrat. Instead of claiming to be a Republican interested in reforming the Republican Party.
See, Rush Limbaugh is shoving all of the moderates out of the party.
I was just going to say, by the time he's done, everyone's
going to... Yes.
Get out, Colin Powell. We don't need you.
We'd be happy to have Colin Powell.
And take Susan Collins and... We'll
take them
all. With you.
Forget being the de facto head of the Republican Party. I'm going to be the Republican Party.
This is my party, and I'll cry if I want to. Oh, goodbye, Esmeralda.
All right. This is just good fun.
I know,
this
right?
This is good fun, what's happening on the other side of the aisle. All right, let's check a quick check of entertainment news in the morning.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, John Cleese has claimed that the golden age of British TV comedy has passed. He said, I don't think the writers work as hard as they used to, and I think they may lack experience because I don't think the writing is as good as it used to be. I think the main problem now, it's run on the basis of money.
And your point is?
How apropos for the discussion
today's
this morning.
Discussion. We have the rest of his thoughts.
Well, it's John Cleese, Michael Palin, Terry Jones, and Graham Chapman.
Of
as
course.
The four Yorkshiremen.
That's what I meant.
Very possible, why not? Good old Chateau de Chatelet. Who'd have thought 30 years ago that writing comedy would buy you a glass of Chateau de Chatelet? Right, comedy wouldn't in fact surprise of a cup of tea. With no sugar and no milk. And no tea. He used to have to write in a tiny office with owls and truth for one typewriter for a dozen of us. At least you are the roof. There used to be 20 of us out in the open with one typewriter with 10 broken letters and 1 ribbon that had to last a year. Oh, we used to dream of a broken typewriter. We had to sit out and train 42 of us around one piece of paper and cut ourselves to be bled so we'd have ink to write with and all for tuppence every 6 shows. And we had to lick executive washroom clean with our tongues before we'd be beaten about the head and shoulders with the BBC bylaws. Oh, well, we had it tough. We ought to save our own urine because the blood was so thick from dehydration and then fight off 86 writers for one posted note, all in the middle of the Thames, right where the sewer discharge was, and we were forced to pay the BBC for the privilege of supplying them with cameras and crew, all to our responsible for 2 seasons of scripts every day and forced to eat our own for meal break. Then we had to drop by 10 Downing Street and give Edward Heath a job. And you try telling that to the young writers of today, they'll not believe you.
Point of order, point of chronology, yes. Actually. Mm-hmm. Post-its didn't exist in the
70s.
Yeah,
okay.
I just want, you know, sorry, I'm a stickler.
Stickly McSticklerson.
Yeah.
Shush. And finally, Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart are in the process of expanding their family by adopting a little girl. He proposed to the Ally McBeal actress on Valentine's Day.
Aww. But,
Yes. They're adopting a little girl from, I think, that agency, you know.
Child Max.
Yes.
Celebrities. Has this ever happened to you? You found the love of your life late in life, and she has a son you dote on so much you're going to make him your own? And the two of you are going to adopt a little girl from right here in America? Well, Child Max has just... hey, what the hell? Harrison, Callista, what? WTF?
You're seriously going to adopt sensibly and responsibly with no melanin bling or faux salvation to some third world urchin? What the hell kind of way is that to behave? And what the hell are we supposed to do? Do you realize we sunk big bank into bribes, smuggling, lawyers, and guns just so you can go somewhere and pick out a melanically enhanced third world pet? How the hell are we supposed to make any money on fees and kickbacks if you just up and decide that a regular American kid is good enough for you? I mean, really, you got a damn nerve. You realize how many jobs are going to be lost because of this? Especially mine? Oh, boy, there's always somebody has to pee in the punch bowl and ruin it for everybody. If we left it up to creeps like you, everybody would be happy with their own American kid, and boom, there goes the neighborhood. Mr. and Mrs. Ford, tell me, I really want to know, why do you hate America?
That's all
talking
for
American
tinsel.
Kids. What the?
What the? That's all for Tinsel Talk on Hero. We tell your friends
about WTF.
If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall, there's a tile ad on StephanieMiller.com.
Or Jim Ward's apocryphal but true.
Let's get back to people beating up on me. Catherine in Los Angeles on the Ashley Madison ads. Hello, Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, sorry. I'm calling from a health standpoint. Mm-hmm. As a healthcare professional, the only person who doesn't get to make the choice is the spouse that's being cheated on. That mm-hmm. person's not having the choice of divorce or being exposed to disease, because you're not being honest with that person. You're mm-hmm. being honest with the person you're cheating with.
Right.
But, yeah, exactly. But, that's what I said to him. Where is that on the sliding moral scale? You're being honest with one of the people you're... But not the other.
But whether Ashley Madison existed or not, the cheating would still go on.
Yeah, the cheating would still go on, but I'd have a choice because I'd find out about it, because they wouldn't have the cover of the Ashley Madison. They'd have to do it the old-fashioned way. And so I'd find the receipts or whatever, and I'd be able to catch them. And be
that doesn't
yeah, but you could. See, that's what I don't get, is you could still get caught, obviously, even if you're doing it through Ashley Madison, right?
You know, there are going to be receipts if, you know, a dinner is gone to or something.
Right,
or a hotel.
Lipstick or whatever. All right.
There's still ways to find out about the cheating.
Fran in Providence, Rhode Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay.
It depends on how this call goes, but
yes.
All right.
No. I'm a single woman in her early 40s, and let me tell you, you would be shocked at how many men are on Match.com that are married.
But do they say they're married?
No, absolutely not.
Well, that's his point, is that this is for, you know... This is a website for people that want to be honest. That's what he's saying, is many of the people are, you know, what was the percentage, Chris? He said of people that go on these singles sites are not single. They lie about it.
Right, absolutely. And the thing is they start a relationship with you. They say that they're divorced. You believe that they're divorced. 2 months later, you find out they're not divorced.
Yep. Yeah.
And it puts you in the position of being the other woman or the other person, which you had absolutely no intention of doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the guy has like a car seat, or there's like a swing set on the roof, anything like that, that's usually some tip-offs.
Yeah, except that these people they have it down pat. If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just wish personally that they would all go to Ashley Madison and get the hell off of every other site, out of all the bars, out of all the nightclubs, and if you're going to cheat, do it in that one area.
You know who I think is the main proponent of cheating in this country? And let me explain why. Don Boner. And I'll tell you why. Because he has popularized the tanning, because he clearly uses bronzer. And so I bet a lot of men are using bronzer on that white spot around there where the wedding ring was. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Normally, you could see that somebody had taken their wedding ring off. I'm just saying. Okay, let's go
or
to...
You can just wear gloves.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like,
one glove.
Dude, why are you wearing gloves?
It's 80 degrees outside. Why are you wearing gloves?
Chantel in Jacksonville.
Hi, Mama and the Mooks.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hi. I have a funny idea about this. I mean, I agree with you. You know, we can't legislate morality, because some people who legislate morality are some of the most immoral people behind closed doors. But I mean, if we're going to have a website that caters to people who want to be honest only with the person that they're cheating with,
mm-hmm.
let's get a website together with people who want to kill their spouses. I mean, if you're going to take a literal sense of the wedding vows to death do us part, hey, you broke the vows first, so I should be able to get free legal representation if I happen to kill you.
You know what? We are capitalists, Chantel, and there's a business opportunity there. Is people that want to kill their spouses because they pick someone up on AshleyMadison.com. 20 minutes after the hour. All right, more of this.
Oh, why did you say so? Okay.
Speaking of moral values, is Miss California going to get fired? We'll be back with that and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I get it. It's the whole Stephanie's a whore theme this morning. Good.
Yes.
25 minutes
You're
after the hour.
You're a money whore.
At least I'm only a pile of money.
Well, yes, you have sex with that Geico pile.
It's nobody else's pile of money. I'm not cheating with someone else's pile of money.
You have sex with that Geico pile of money. You know, with the eyes on it? Yeah. We run ads for Geico. We like Geico.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
We don't
from
necessarily
anywhere.
Like oh, Ashley Geico. Madison.
The Geico Gecko's going to felt left out.
Yeah. Kim in Columbus wants everyone to leave me alone. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Steph. I had a couple of points. I was calling to be the irate, angry black girl at the Stephanie Miller Show today.
Okay.
But after I heard Chris, I couldn't. After I heard Chris laugh, I couldn't. Oh. For the callers that called in and called you a slut, do you think that she would drink so much box wine and French kiss her dogs if she was actually using the website?
Exactly.
You know,
I have the decency to at least just be pathetic.
Right. I just feel like this. I mean, first of all, Stephanie's not going to promote any groups that promote hate or something illegal, so drop that argument. And if she didn't have some kind of sponsors, you wouldn't have a Stephanie Miller to call in and fuss at.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You can thank Ashley Madison for your ability to call me and call me a slut. So there.
If we don't sell airtime, you're not going to have a Stephanie Miller show
there
to listen
to. There you are. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Bonnie in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bonnie.
Hello. My concern with the AshleyMadison.com site is the owner stated he didn't know who will be using the site. Maybe I watched too many CSI or Law & Order episodes, but to me that's an open invitation to very crazy people to do very bad things, and no one will know who they are. Sort of like a serial killer heaven.
What do
you
mean? Well, he was saying that he wouldn't know if celebrities or whoever are using because
right.
they're, it's, you know, whatever, they're protected the... But why would you go there to do things like murder? I don't.
Well, because it's some place that no one's going to know who you are, and you can find people who are cheating on other people. And they're
right.
Keep
you can do that at Craigslist. You can do that at any dating site. Any
That's
dating
saying,
site on the air.
But this one is just even better now because it's like focused on people who are cheating.
I don't know. That makes you more likely to be a murderer. But,
yeah, I don't see the difference between eHarmony and Ashley Madison in that respect.
Okay, let's go to Joel in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. It's so funny you just mentioned eHarmony because that's what I was talking about. That I think that this Ashley Madison should team up with eHarmony, and then instead of 29 dimensions of compatibility, he only has to worry about one.
There you go. Are you a cheater? Yeah. Me too.
Hooray! Okay.
Triple X Harmony.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so magical.
Disharmony.
Okay. Stephen Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling to say, won't someone please think about the puppies? You have two enormous dogs to feed.
Thank
Max
you.
And Ollie.
And Oliver,
yes.
My new Tibetan Mastiff, Great
Oliver!
Pyrenees, Great
right.
Pyrenees
and
puppy.
And let's not forget your bridle path that needs management.
That's right.
Exactly.
So.
Thank you.
And your central vacuum system needs repair.
This dog might weigh 200 pounds. Mama has to buy kibble, for God's sakes.
Your bridle path.
Whatever.
And you're not even married.
Probably never will be.
I am to my pile of money. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative John Adler, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I love her, but she is kind of a sociopath.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's elevate the discussion here. If only we could talk to someone that's gone to Harvard College and Harvard Law School, someone extra Harvardy, to elevate the discussion. Who is that, Chris?
Representative John Adler from the great state of New Jersey.
He's very Harvardy. Good morning, Congressman.
A lot of pressure already. Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
You better say the smartest things we've ever heard this morning.
We should sign off now and save time, I think. Wow.
Well, Congressman, obviously, you know, the economy, I still think, is topic number one for most Americans. What is your take on whether, you know, Ben Bernanke, of course, a couple days ago said he thinks things are looking up. Do you?
Oh, I absolutely feel that. You hear people have more confidence in their personal well-being, their household's well-being, the community, business community. I think people are feeling a lot better than they were 3 or 4 months ago when we were generally worried about where our country was headed.
Well, you know, Congressman, I you know, this may be overstated, but, you know, when you look at all the polls and the confidence that people have in President Obama, I mean, isn't that part of it? Isn't part of a recession or the economy psychological?
Well, there's no question about it. And I think we've sort of turned the corner of the dread we had during the last couple of months of President Bush's administration, and for many of us, way before the last couple of months. But I think there's a sense overall, the people of America, certainly the people of my area of New Jersey, are feeling much better now than they felt in November or December. And that's even with unemployment continuing to rise. People think we have a few more months of that, and then it's going to get better again. But in the meantime, we're going to be better off.
Well, that's going to lag behind, is what they're saying, right? I mean, jobs are going to be the last thing that rebounds.
Well, they say that, and you know, unless you're one of the people losing the job, you want to believe that. If you're one of the people losing the job, it's awful. But I think overall, people feel that we are turning the corner in terms of housing, in terms of finance, in terms of all the things we need to do to grow mm-hmm. our economy mm-hmm. in smart ways for the next few years.
Well, you know, it's like that. What's that old saying Abraham Lincoln said? Most people are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. But, you know, I think that you're right. The perception may that things are better, people maybe start spending more, right? I mean, if you're scared, you're not going to spend, and that makes the whole cycle worse.
Well, we actually saw that. The first couple months of this year, consumer spending was down a lot as people were afraid they wouldn't have money, they didn't have a good future, and they were just hunkering down mentally in a bunker. And in March, and then again April, consumer spending was up, and some business spending was up. And so we see encouraging signs that people realize the worst is behind them personally. They're going to be okay, the community's going to be okay, and overall the country's going to be okay.
Yep, absolutely. Now, tell us about, for instance, you know, the people hardest hit in any recession, of course, the poor, the elderly. What about these checks that about 50 million seniors are going to get $250 checks in May?
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that. We passed a stimulus program, an economic recovery program, back in February. It was very, very necessary to sort of defibrillate the economic patient in the United States of America. And one of the ways we thought about doing it was some tax cuts for small business, and there were some payroll tax cuts for individuals who were working. But somehow the version that was coming through the Congress omitted senior citizens. And those folks are really hard hit right now. They see their medical costs going up, generally their cost of living going up, and their unearned income from their whatever sort of dividends they thought they would get gone completely as the stock market dropped so much in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so thrilled that the Congress adopted an amendment that I introduced to add direct stimulus checks to every senior citizen, $250 per senior
yep.
or per disabled veteran, because those folks are also not faring very well right now. And,
mm-hmm.
And so how great that this month of May, folks will get a check for $250 with the idea they spend it. They pay down debt, or they go out and buy something they need, fix something in their house that's been aching to be fixed for a while, and have that money recirculate in the local economy in my part of New Jersey or everywhere in the country where these folks are getting their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to stimulate the economy short term until business does what it could do well long term.
Now, Congressman, I'm glad I have someone extra Harvardy this morning to explain to me the bank.
Extra Harvardy.
Yes.
Finally paid off my student loans.
The bank stress tests. What are those, and what are they showing?
Well, you mentioned earlier about sort of confidence. We know from the Great Depression and then Franklin Roosevelt's time in the New Deal. One of the first things he did was to inject confidence in the American public, his great quote about nothing to fear but fear itself. And just a few days after that quote, he did a fireside chat, the first of several fireside chats he did. And his fireside chat was almost entirely about the banking crisis facing our country. And he did something smart. He said, we're shutting down banks for a while. We're going to open some banks up next Monday, some banks a few weeks after that, and some banks will probably never open up again because they're undercapitalized, and we don't want people to put money in there and have those banks fail. I think one of the great things President Obama has done, as the administration has done, is to read history learn the good lessons of history and take from President Roosevelt's genius the idea we've got to inject confidence in our banking system so that credit can flow to businesses again. They can borrow money to buy equipment, to buy property, to hire more people, which is sort of one of the long-term goals here, obviously. And so the stress test idea was to look at the big banks that have maybe two-thirds of all the deposits in the country and see which ones of them are safe, shouldn't have any TARP money. They can start giving the TARP money back, which was, I guess, injected in there to stop a further bank crisis after the Lehman Brothers collapse. And some of the banks probably need to have some more capital. So you hear about Citibank and Bank of America maybe being required to capitalize more, to get more money in from investors so they don't sort of head south economically and drag the economy with them. I think it's exactly the right thing that we're doing right now. It's exactly what President Roosevelt did that saved the banking system in America in the early 1930s when it was really as bleak as it is now. And it seems to be working. I think we're going to have good results this afternoon. We sort of know in advance what they're going to be. I think we'll have a sense that most of our banks are adequately capitalized and they can be confident about lending again at their traditional rates to creditworthy borrowers. That should be very good news to our economy in very short order.
Congressman, I have to ask how you think this Republican rebranding is going. They're on a listening tour, apparently.
Well, I wish they would listen to the American people more closely. Yeah. What the American people are saying is they want forward progress after years of our falling backwards. They want us to be respected overseas, not because we're just strong, but because we're righteous, because we're governed by a rule of law and by a sense of respect for other cultures, understanding we have to put our own interests first for our own safety and security. But I think the Bush administration completely lost sight of our great American values that really make us the beacon of hope for the rest of the world. And I think this president has been so well received around the world, and that bodes well for us in terms of our safety. We want to have
a good thing everywhere except Fox News.
Are they still on the air?
Congressman, thank you so much for bringing your Harvardiness to the show.
Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Come anytime. There he goes. Representative John Adler of the great state of New Jersey.
Thank God we changed the subject from the news.
Let's talk about that again. Pat in Los Angeles on the Ashley Madison ads. Hello, Pat.
Listen, I want to suggest that that it's a little bit disingenuous to say, hey, listen, I got to make a money, so I got to take ads. I think that you do.
We don't take ads for just anything. We have rejected some.
Well, that's what I mean. So you can't just say that you have to pay bills. I think that excuse is not valid in the argument. I mean, you wouldn't take ads for a Girls Gone Wild or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Girls Gone Wild is completely legal.
As long as they're 18.
I know. I don't think that Stephanie would do an ad for them, nor do I think that she would, even though she has this guy, the Ashley whatever site that she wouldn't do a personal ad. She wouldn't say, you know, hi, guys, wasn't it cheap, but her face getting caught. Stephanie Miller says you wouldn't do that. So you do draw a moral line somewhere. And also I want to suggest that
We would take a Girls Gone Wild ad, actually.
Yeah, okay. Why would I not take a Girls Gone Wild? That's different from me promoting it personally.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is I don't agree with everything. I made the point about we ran Yes on Prop 8 ads. I couldn't have been disagreed more, but, you know, both sides ran ads on the show.
Yeah, but you didn't have a choice in that, right? I mean, you said it was like your network.
Actually, yeah, political ads, I don't think
you don't have a choice,
with those, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all I'm saying is that you would make a moral choice, and I also want to suggest that I remember Stephen Colbert got a lot of flack about his advertising Girls Gone Wild because it reduced the political impact of what your show is trying to say. Because somebody could say, their show.
How would it reduce?
I think our listeners are smart enough to determine what is editorial content and what is a commercial.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, in this time, I'm certainly trying to do it. I'm trying to sway some people over to our side, and I'm saying if they can fall back on the thing of like, yeah, well, they're paid for by a bunch of guys who are adulterers, and that reduces the impact.
That's one advertiser. That's not. What do you mean? Like, you're not saying like Progressive Radio is brought to you by adulterers. I mean, you know.
I know, but I'm saying that that you do make choices about what you do on moral grounds, on what you will advertise and what you won't.
Put your name on that? Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's our position to determine what is moral and what is not. It's like Miss California saying that gay marriage is immoral. I don't think that's her place to say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that she needs to make moral pronouncements. I'm saying that her own morals would have her choose or not choose what advertiser she's going to come on and say, hi, this is Stephanie Miller.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not saying that she's voicing morals out. I'm saying that her morals actually do make commercial choices for you.
All right, honey.
Yeah,
I mean,
you wouldn't put your name on Ashley Madison. Hi, this
no,
is Stephanie Miller,
no,
Ashley
no.
Madison.
Oh,
I think it's great.
I'll tell you where my moral line is, and you know this, Chris. Puppies.
Yes, okay.
I have refused to endorse a dog food in our...
Because you don't
no,
feed...
No, because I
right.
feed my dogs that. Okay, and I've taken a lot of heat, trust me, from the people that would like the show to make more money. 40...
And so we're making up for that by running Ashley Madison
now
ads?
Now I got a adults
right,
around.
Great.
43 minutes.
The dog food of adulterers everywhere.
I do not suggest that you cheat on
your... Is your dog cheating with another brand of dog food?
I do not suggest that you cheat on your spouse in a Hummer. Let's just say that. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, right back with the Miss California controversy, the gay march of gay marriage, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days. She knows what I mean.
What?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Quote unquote Steve in Orange County says he used Ashley Madison. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys? I know I've called in the show many times. I really enjoy the show, and I'm going to keep listening.
I'm guessing your lovely wife doesn't listen.
No, I'm actually a single guy.
Oh.
And I was in a point of my life where I just wanted to date women with no drama. So I tried Ashley Madison, had a great time, met very intelligent, outgoing women who happened to be in situations where they needed a little extra in their life. And so we met, had a great
time. Wow, I never thought of that angle. It's perfect for men that want no commitment of any kind.
Sure.
And women
absolutely.
That for whatever reason also don't.
And that's exactly it. I mean, it's clean, it's legit. There's not too many wacky people out there.
Are allowed to use it? I'm confused. I thought it was for people.
Well,
okay.
Yes, yeah.
They're cheating with the.
If they want to be the mistress.
If you want to be the cheater, I get it. Okay.
So Steve was basically the mistress.
Yeah, I would go and meet attached women, and you know what? A lot of the women on there that I ended up meeting, I didn't meet, you know, hundreds. I mean, maybe 10 women over the 2 years that I was on it that I met were church-going soccer moms, a lot of Republicans who were just married to, you know, fat, bald guys who couldn't satisfy them anymore. They didn't want to get divorced. They needed a little excitement, maybe, you know, once or twice a month. Mm. You know, you go out, you have dinner, you have fun, do what consenting adults do.
Are you a nice hunk of beef, Steve, I take it?
I am a very handsome Latin gentleman.
Mm.
Washboard abs for a 42-year-old guy. Have no problem meeting women, but it's just I was at that age of my life where you'd go out to dinner with the woman, and before the drinks even came, they were asking you if you wanted to get married and have 2.3 children. That's not what I wanted.
Okay.
You're like two is okay. The point three is too much commitment for me.
All these people that are saying that now the Stephanie Miller Show is gone, you know, immoral, they're totally wrong. It's just an advertiser.
It's always been immoral, frankly. Yeah.
If you don't want to use it, you don't have to use it.
Yep.
That's it.
What about the husbands of these women who you're banging?
Well, you know what? There were some women on there that actually their husbands knew they were on there and kind of got excited knowing that their women were out with other men.
Mm.
And so you always have the woman always asks, well, do you mind if my husband tags along? And that's, you know, I like to get my kink on, but I'm not that kinky, so that wasn't quite my thing. But
here's the thing is, you know, this can get to be a complex issue. I have a friend who is divorced who, you know, she's actually said, because she has two kids, and she's actually said as awful as her marriage was, that you know, there's days she wonders if she should have stayed in. Now, that doesn't mean she should also have done something on the side, but it is very hard. A lot of times, you know, so sometimes the whole economic angle, you can't kind of... her life has been very, very difficult, trying to be a single mom, and economically and otherwise.
Dan on the live blog wrote, AshleyMadison.com is to cheating, as a head shop is to smoking weed.
Yes.
So that's a very, very good point.
You said head.
Yeah. You know, they don't do the cheating. They just
supply the papers.
Exactly.
Dave writes, Steph, why is it so hard to imagine someone in a situation where cheating is the only option? If your spouse is sick or disabled and you can't leave because they would have no way to survive alone, but they're unable to be intimate, I can't divorce. My wife has a heart condition and would lose her health insurance. Meanwhile, there is no intimacy. Why is that so hard to understand? Believe me, I'd love to be single, but she couldn't survive without my support. Are you saying I should be celibate for the rest of my life?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Ah, there you go. All right, see, we've opened up the moral can of worms. Eat up. Okay. Meanwhile, speaking of moral cans of worms...
You're fired.
Miss California is still awaiting her...
is she still showing side boob?
I think it's more than side boob now.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know she thinks the gays are immoral, I guess. So it emerged that state pageant officials paid for her breastises just prior to the competition. Then on Monday, scandalous pictures taken of her in her underwears hit the web. And then yesterday, the gossip site TMZ said a source close to her sent them four highly graphic photos of Gary Prejean, causing another Prejean. Stir. Within the Miss California community. One Miss California co-chair said, I'm absolutely stunned. This completely changes things for us. Yesterday, we thought she'd explain things accurately. We need to revisit this issue with her. She's made quite a little name for herself in the whole anti-gay rights community, hasn't she?
But everyone knows who she is now.
Mm-hmm. By the by, so Marie Osmond, whom I know...
She's lovely.
She is lovely.
Yes.
She did a radio interview out here, and she seems to support gay marriage.
Really?
She is a Mormon, as you know.
Well, her daughter is a lesbian.
I don't know if this was confirmed exactly, but the headlines all over the Internet suggesting Marie Osmond has a gay daughter and the singer supports same-sex marriage. That appears to be what she was saying in the interview is what the story is saying.
So she kind of danced around it a little bit?
I'm not really sure. She is quite the hoofer, as you know.
Well, kind of. Yeah, until she faints.
She said, one of the things we have to be careful of is we don't create hate because people believe certain things and we can't make everyone become homogenized. Her assistant told ABC the singer wouldn't comment on the gay daughter issue, but the radio interview led to a discussion of same-sex civil unions and marriage. She said everybody has a right to believe what they believe, but I do think that everyone has a right to have civil rights.
She thinks it's a civil right? Wow.
I believe everyone should have the right to share homes and finances with somebody that they care about. You know, on those types of things, I'm very supportive when it comes to marriage. You know, I think civil rights need to be for all. She said it's also important to follow the commandment, love thy neighbor. She also makes clear that she loves her daughter very much.
Hmm.
Good for her.
Whether she's gay or not.
Exactly. No exact confirmation of that.
Has she been kicked out of the Mormon church yet?
Yeah, that can't be going over well in Utah.
All right. By the by, the governor has signed the bill, so Maine becomes the fifth state to allow same-sex marriage. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Could I have some wedding music, please? Maine's governor signed a freshly passed...
Fabulous!
Maine's governor signed a freshly passed bill Wednesday morning approving gay marriage, making the fifth state to approve the practice, moving New England closer to allowing it throughout the region. New Hampshire legislators also poised to send a gay marriage bill to their governor, who hasn't indicated whether he'll sign it. If he does, Rhode Island would be the region's sole holdout. Well, they're so little, we can just erase them off the Northeast, can't we? I love these Republican Senator Deborah Plowman argued the bill was being passed at the expense of people of faith. See, there they go, getting their church in my state again. Yeah. What the hell does it... It doesn't have anything to do with religion. You can believe what you want to believe.
Exactly. But you know what? The governor did say, as he was signing it, that the people do reserve the right to rescind it.
Yeah.
You know, through a referendum process or something. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a lawyer on the radio say that he thinks Prop 8, it's an issue more of, like, is this an amendment or a revision? And that this,
right.
Yeah, that he thinks the Supreme Court probably will uphold it, so then it would be going back to the people to be overturned at some point.
Okay.
Senate Majority Leader the Democratic Senate Majority Leader said the bill does not compel religious institutions to recognize gay marriage. That's what I mean. It's just such a false argument. It has nothing to do with compelling churches to do anything. Maine, now the fourth state in New England to allow same-sex marriage. Connecticut enacted a bill after being ordered to allow gay marriages by the courts. Vermont, of course, passed a bill over the governor's veto. New Hampshire's House also expected to vote on a bill Wednesday and send it to the governor, who is a Democrat. Massachusetts.
They did that yesterday.
Yes, pardon me.
Yes.
Massachusetts High Court has ordered the state to recognize gay marriages. In Rhode Island, a bill to legalize same-sex marriage has been introduced, but is not expected to pass this year. So, anyway, that's...
Rhode Island's a little more conservative than the rest of New England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We have we have more on the D. We have a gay stack today.
And we have Hal Sparks in studio.
Oh, my God. From, well, Queer as Folk, among other things.
Among other things.
And listen, much, much more to come. 57 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, the president on Al Qaeda yesterday.
Every day we see evidence of the future that Al Qaeda and its allies offer. It's a future filled with violence and despair. It's a future without opportunity or hope.
It's like a Republican Party meeting. They're on their listening tour. Kathleen Sebelius yesterday on universal health care.
Health care reform cannot wait and will not wait another year.
And by the way, Ann Coulter, do we have that one? The speaking of the Republican rebranding listening tour.
Whatever
it is, she was on.
There are more conservatives than there are Republicans, so it's not a coincidence that the people who want us to lose, the media and the Democrats, keep telling us stop being conservative. Win when we're conservative, we lose when we're liberal, and we just ran that experiment again last November.
But you don't. Wait a minute, you win when you're conservative? What about Barry Goldwater and Bill Miller?
I have a little something to say. All right, don't get my dad into
what?
This. All right. Wow, we got us a show this morning. There's only one thing that can make it a bigger party. What? Who is it, Chris?
It is Hal Sparks.
Hello.
Why, good morning, comedian Hal Sparks.
Thank you. I'm sorry I kicked in your door. I was just so excited to be here. I think I dislocated my ankle. That's a heavy, you get a heavier door every week when you come by. It's like, I think,
practice your front thrust kicks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did you have that chained this time? That was just,
we've had us quite the controversial show this morning.
Well, you'd like to think so.
Your thoughts on AshleyMadison.com.
The truth is, I've had an account on there for months and I haven't gotten much attention. Maybe it's because I'm a celebrity, I can't even put a picture. You know how it is. Everybody out there knows. I have to do like just neck down, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody can really know it's me, and it's my face that's a selling point, quite frankly. So I don't, everything from the neck down is sort of cute. Oh, look at that. That's adorable. Look at him. He's like 15 or something. Nice muscle structure, but a boy. That's terrific. Oh, he manscapes. Super. You know what I mean?
Yes. Sure.
But I, you know, the truth is, I'm, having been a touring comedian since the age of 17 years old, I am quite aware of the amount of moral fluidity that exists in the married couples across this great nation of ours.
Yes.
And so...
That's why the sanctity of marriage argument against gay marriage is particularly
absolutely,
hilarious.
It's absurd, because 50% of marriages are collapsing on their own without gay marriage ever having been legal in the first place, and 60% of women admit to cheating, and 50% of men admit to cheating. And that's an even lower number than actually do it. You know, they just get away with it.
Right.
You know, women are just better at getting away with it. Women will give
We're
you
smarter.
Their number in front of their husband, like an Italian man giving a tip to a guy at a restaurant. Yeah, get yourself a haircut, and they just kind of squeeze $100 into your hand. You're like, huh? Women can do that. So guys are like, hey, what's going on? Twirling their wedding ring, and their wife's right over their shoulder staring at them and tapping their foot, you know? And the woman, like, the guy that she's with never sees it coming. She's like, you were hilarious. And just like claps her hands together, and suddenly I have a room key, directions, a GPS coordinator, one of those find your car in a parking lot GPS devices, and she's managed to slip it into a small carryable packet that probably you could smuggle out of a place in an orifice, and you can escape. Yeah.
You don't really need Ashley Madison. You can either become a world-famous comedian.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Go on, Ashley Madison.
Absolutely. And the truth is, you know, I think, quite frankly, I think if you want to put Ashley Madison out of business, you have a problem with it morally, then be open to the idea of non-monogamy, because the truth is the vast majority of that cheating and that idea comes from the people not being able to trust their partner and go, I love you, but I can't have Italian every night. So, you know what I mean? Sometimes you want Chinese.
Rhonda,
and you just, yeah.
Rhonda and Tom Springs, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hey, Rhonda.
Steph.
Yes.
Luke, what about all the, while we're feeling sorry for the spouses that are being cheated on, what about on Match.com and other places, regular single people who are trustingly getting involved with people who claim to be single?
Absolutely.
Smack into that wall. You know, let's let the horn dogs all stack themselves up over there. You know, well, yeah. But... you know, too much.
Yeah, smoke. Maybe if the name was different, we'd feel better. Like, I'm a cheating horndog.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you crowbarred honesty into a lot of these situations, the whole thing would collapse like a flan in a cupboard, as Eddie Izzard would say. You know, you can't. You know, once people start going, hey, you want to swing? Actually, I've been sick of sleeping with you for 6 years now. That's a great idea. Once, you know, there was a period pre major sexual disease where the nation was actually headed in that direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the 70s, you know, they did that series on Winnetka, Illinois, which is where I went to high school on, I think it was on, it was actually on broadcast. It was like on NBC.
Swingtown.
It was about Winnetka, Illinois, which is very upper crust, very she part, you know, the country. One of the third richest, areas in the country. Mm-hmm. And they were all like swinging psychopaths all during the 70s. Remember this too. And most people tiptoe around Ashley Madison and things like this because they're worried about offending older people. They get very nervous. Like, well, what if my grandmother hears this and she won't do that? Okay, first of all, your grandmother is probably in her 60s or 70s, was in her 30s in the 70s. Which when,
think about it.
When porn was on the big screen. Absolutely. Porn was on the big screen. Cocaine was making its... Yeah, absolutely. And mustaches were just ways of, you know, everyone fitting in.
Everyone looked like Mark Spitz.
Absolutely.
And there were quaaludes.
Absolutely, yes. Everyone was looted up, wandering around, sleeping with each other's wives. That just wasn't the internet. So you had to do it the old-fashioned way. You had to rub two sticks together.
Way.
Yeah, absolutely.
John in Florida. You're on about Miss California.
Yeah, well, I was calling about Miss California.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I see is people are saying that her answer was wrong. It's not wrong. She was asked her opinion if she likes the color blue or color purple. It's not wrong. It, mm-hmm. It's not a wrong answer. She's just answering the question.
Right. I agree. No, she has a right to her opinion, and people have a right to their opinion about her opinion.
You're hearing it left and right that, you know, her answer was wrong. She's wrong. She can't represent Miss USA. She can't do that with that opinion. That's ludicrous.
No, I don't think people are saying, no, she can't because she has nudie pictures out, and that's against her morals contract.
No, nobody has said.
Right afterwards, she was exactly said that she shouldn't represent Miss USA because she
feels
that way.
Who
said that?
Yeah, who said?
Every liberal talk radio station I listen to.
No. You are completely
wrong. No one
said
she's wrong. We could say we disagree with her.
Go on YouTube. Pull up Miss USA on
send
YouTube.
Send me some links. John.
Send it to you. You can type in.
No,
YouTube.
John, send me some. I want you to send me some links. Chris@StephanieMiller.com.
Absolutely. Okay. Here's the thing. A lot of people were amazed that she said what she said, but they didn't say she had no right to say it. That's where the straw man argument in this came up was that, and the right knows they're losing ground on this. The conservatives, as it were, know that they're losing ground. The whole country has shifted. There's more people support the gay people having the right to get married than don't now for the first time in history. And they know they have a problem with that. They know they can't make the argument on the grounds that basis of the facts. So what they argue is she has the right to say whatever she wants without ever making the point that everyone else has the right to say that she's stupid for thinking that. It's almost like saying, and this is Godwin's law, but if you go, Hitler had the right to say whatever he wants, but we're reacting to what he believes and why he would believe it, not that he believes it. That part is his right. The why is the argument part.
Right.
And so that's what this
really
boils down to.
We're just saying because of the nudie pictures, it is no longer.
Well,
Well, right. It's California.
That's the funny part, is that, you know, is that she, her big thing was, and her defense was, I was raised to believe that gay marriage is wrong. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she wasn't particularly raised by her Christian beliefs to not pose nude.
Yes, she said, I'm a Christian and I'm a model.
Right.
And we pointed out yesterday, God
she's made a model
both
first.
Gays and real breasts. And so that's something else.
It's okay if she's a model first. And in this case, she was.
Yes.
She was a model first. Christianity took a backseat to her modeling career.
By the way, speaking of Christianity, could you take your organ out for me, please, Chris? More than 300 gay-positive clergy were on Capitol Hill yesterday urging Congress to support gay and lesbian rights bills. It's the second time. It's clergy call.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second time they've had it. As you know, conservative Christian groups have regularly fought all efforts to pass LGBT legislation. Wednesday's clergy call, an effort to show that not all religious leaders support that agenda. At the top of the list, radical things like this, how they legislation being pushed to expand the federal hate, you know, so you can't kill someone because they're gay.
Right, exactly.
Stuff like
the
that.
Idea that, which is really a sentencing guideline, which is not an actual new law, it's a sentencing guideline, so that when somebody goes, here's the thing, if I kill you because I think you're a jerk and I see you every day, the odds of me killing somebody else are fairly slim. I had my problem with you. So if you let me out of jail in 7 years because I've done my time, arguably you can make the case that I'm not going to kill again. That's the thing. But if I kill someone because they're Jewish or Mormon or gay or black or white or Christian, then
it's like potato chips. Chances are you'll want more.
And I'm a bigger threat to the general populace because of it. It's the same reason we put away cop killers more actively, because a cop killer is more apt to kill a regular person, as it were.
Right. Well, I just want to applaud.
Well, why think about that?
These clergies, because that's what I think a lot of people have got a distaste for, is that Christianity became equated with gay bashing, essentially,
with
in the
Fred
last
Phelps.
Two.
I mean, who? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think of your two biggest Christian visible, you know, specters. Basically, Fred Phelps and Pat Robertson are the two most visible Christians in modern life.
Yeah, and you know who made a great point? Gene Robinson. He's the openly gay bishop who was at the invocation. He said 95% of the oppression that we know in our lives comes from the religious community. So they were there fighting for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, you know, to discriminate against gay people in jobs or housing.
To which a big group of Christian people, you know, on the right went, exactly! Yes! Precisely! There's a reason we, you know, religious persecution comes from a certain place. We believe these things. And they really do. That's the silly thing. They don't understand, of course, that, I mean, I forget who it was, but they were saying, like, they went to, I had a guy who helped a Christian musician who was on tour. And he went to these big Christian events. And a lot of these people refer to themselves as the Christian Taliban, and they do it kind of cutely and happily, but they really don't realize how ironic that is, and how they really do have a lot more in common with the mullahs in Iran than they do with mainstream Christians.
It's like the sense of irony was totally lost on Jerry Falwell when he blamed gay people for 9/11. And you're like, oh, that's exactly the kind of religious intolerance that caused, oh, I know, 9/11.
Right, exactly. These people hate gays just as much as you do, if not more.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like they would, if you guys were arguing about all kinds of things, freedom of love, they would want to kill you. But the minute you brought up hating gays and limiting women's rights,
now you can go out for a beer.
You can pat each other on the back.
That's the point.
Yeah, right. You know what? I think I found a new best friend.
By the way, Chris, Nancy Pelosi agrees with you. She said, I don't think Congress should intervene any more than we would intervene when New York did something similar. She's talking about the District of Columbia passing a gay marriage law. She said they should be allowed to pass that if they want to without interference. You and I were talking about this. Mm-hmm. This was startling. Jeff Sessions, the extra crispy bucket of Republican from Alabama, said he would consider a gay Supreme Court nominee.
Right.
What?
I've
already got the robe.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Which could really speak to our, you know, the dangerous closet cases among us that we have to really worry about. You know, like he may turn out that he may have a big surprise in store. But the other thing might be that he's just, you know, he's reached a maturity level. I doubt it, but I think more people are concerned that he might just be, you know, kind of a moly, where he'll come out and say those things, but then in session go against, that at all.
John Thune, the other Republican, chief deputy whip, I love this. He says, I know the administration is being pushed, and they're talking about appointing a gay nominee, but I think it would be a bridge too far right now. It seems to me that his first pick is going to be an important one, and my hope is that he'll play it a little more down the middle. A lot of people would react very negatively.
Right. Well, he was already worried that it was going to be female and brown.
What if they do a female and brown one? And then what if it's gay as well?
Next thing you know, it'll be in a wheelchair, and it'll be for everybody. And then it'll be empathetic. It'll be able to feel the pain of others. What a horrible notion. Judges aren't supposed to do that. They're supposed to rule that a corporation is a person. That's their job. That's all they're supposed to do. Yeah.
All right. Here's one thing we can all magically reunite around. We will get a lesson in moral values, family values from the Palin family when we return.
Yes.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with that. And Hal Sparks live in the studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And tell me, who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined in studio by comedian extraordinaire Hal Sparks. Dory in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama and Mooks and Hal Sparks, whom I have loved since Talk Soup.
Aww.
That's sweet. I wish I could hug you through the microphone, but I'd chip a tooth.
I just want to say welcome back to Boston.
Thank you. We are thrilled to be back in Boston.
It's honestly, this whole week has been like opening the front door and seeing my best friends that I thought I would never see again.
Aww.
That's adorable.
So welcome back.
Thank you. That was magical. And by the way, if you need to reach Hal, he's on AshleyMadison.com.
It's true.
If you want to do an actual hug.
Yeah. Hal Sparks 2001, which is when I first signed on. I'm kidding.
He's kidding.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to. He's a hot comedian.
Yeah.
Jeff in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of question on Miss California here. Aren't we arresting young people around this country, right, left, and center, for possessing nude photos on their cell phones of themselves for possessing child pornography? Why is it that because we've hired someone to take pictures of an underage girl, nude photos of an underage girl in a sexually explicit manner, because it's for a corporation, for profit, that makes it okay?
Right.
Isn't this pedophilia to some degree in certain situations?
Well, the ads, they were underwear ads, actually. She wasn't completely unclothed.
I mean, those are the only ones that have come out.
But isn't that the case with most of these other young ladies as well? They're little topless photos that they've snapped of themselves, or in their bra and panties, snapped of themselves. In a DNA.
That's true. The Miley Cyrus ones got, you know, a lot of hits because she was in her underwear, and that was a big to-do. But somehow, because, you know, I think you're making a good point, that because it's for a company and somebody's making money off of it, somehow it gets a pass. Whereas if a kid just does it to her boyfriend, you know, even though she's older than Romeo and Juliet were when they passed away, you know, still gets a lot of crap. I think the interesting thing is I'm dubious about whether or not they were actually, she was underage. I think that's a great defense against nude pictures of you that come out, though. What a smart way to handle it. Oh, I was underage, so that limits their distribution instantly.
Yep, there you go. Hey, speaking of underage love, Crystal Palin on the Today Show.
I think girls now, they think that having a baby is like having an accessory on their hip. And they don't realize that it's such a huge responsibility and it's such just hard work.
Yeah, nobody knew that. No, yeah. That's the problem.
Oh, Flesto, come get your contraceptive.
Yeah, she was on there promoting abstinence.
Yes,
yeah,
which fill in your own joke here.
Yeah, and then they had immediately followed by Mel Gibson talking about religious tolerance and fidelity, and then they had Gary Busey on talking about not going, you know, badass crazy, you know.
Yes.
Yes. Why do you get to be that person? Where is the person like, yeah, I've never actually slept with anyone. I'm actually a virgin, and I'm pretty happy and fun to be around. Where's that person? They don't exist. I'm kidding. But why does she get to be on the air talking about it? Like,
and I want to hear from Levi.
I regret my kid.
I want to hear from Levi.
Absence is a great idea. But I also think that you need to enforce, you know, condoms and, you know, birth control and other things like that to have safe sex. I don't think just telling young kids you can't have sex is just—it's not going to work. It's not realistic.
See, that's
not
the
as
bet.
Dumb as he looks.
Right, exactly, and he knows.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll be right back.
They say
Stephanie Miller
is the most fun you can have with your pants on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, especially with Hal Sparks here.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That sounds like the Ashley Madison theme song. When I picture, like, Torrid Affairs done on a website, I picture guys with big mustachioed dudes and women in kind of flowing blouses, circa, you know, like a 60s Bond film, you know?
Walter in Los Angeles thinks it lowers the standards of my show, and this is the first time I've ever been accused of having standards of any kind.
Sweet.
Hello, Walter.
Hello, Mama. Yes, we have standards. Advertisers make assumptions about the demographic of a show's audience, and progressives are having hard enough time gaining credibility and station saturation nationally without other potential advertisers thinking your existing audience isn't the kind of audience they want.
They advertise on all kinds of shows.
Including conservative radio.
Right wing and left wing, yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense for the progressive message to be consistent, though? I mean, I kept cringing last year.
But advertisers aren't like that. That's not, you know, ads aren't part of your message. What I talk about right now is what
ironic,
my message is.
It's ironic, and this is interesting, is that usually the reverse is the conversation. Usually it's the content of the show and the advertisers are backing away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens when you have such a great point. This is the upside of this whole argument, is that the progressive idea and the progressive movement is so good and so smart and so the way we're all headed that we're actually arguing about, are the advertisers good enough? On conservative talk radio, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, they don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah, with what they're saying. Right,
the person
exactly.
Talking between the commercials.
We have to pull the Build-A-Bear ads from Rush Limbaugh when he's, you know, jacked on Oxycontin and going on sex tourist trips to the Cayman Islands, you know.
And then, Chris, we have the occasional listener like Millie in Miami. You remember her. She's mm-hmm. somewhat elderly, and she does not
She's
care.
She's awesome. Yeah.
She likes just the commercials and the time checks. Everything else she could
she
do without
disagrees.
On the show. Yeah.
She's adorable. And how old is she? 72. Which, how old was she in the 70s and the 60s? I rest my case.
Matt in Chicago on Miss California. Hey, Matt.
Hey, that guy that said that Miss California had a right to her opinion for that question, she didn't answer the question. He asked about states, not her opinion. And she said that gays had the choice. And, the whole question was just, wrong.
Yes, it was grammatically and legally incorrect, on top of being homophobic,
which,
in my
by
opinion.
The way, is, I think, something that that pageant people try to use to make themselves more attractive. Look, I'm hot and dumb. Does that help in any way?
I get more points?
If I can't answer it, if I can't actually structure my sentence, somehow they get points for that. That's very strange.
Well, I think we were just talking about Bristol Palin. First of all, I love this. She goes on the Today Show.
To talk about how much she regrets having her baby, basically. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's hard.
Wow.
I wish I hadn't done this. What?
And then she actually said, I'm not here to talk about my personal life. When they used her as a prop, her personal life, at the Republican convention. And, you know.
Apparently you don't understand the meaning of poster child. Literally.
Oh, dear. You know, speaking of the Palins, with Mother's Day, Hal, right around the corner, nothing quite says I love you like a military-style assault weapon. Mm-hmm. The NRA is going to give Sarah Palin a AR-15 made specifically for her at an upcoming annual banquet. The all-white Alaskan Hunter is modeled after an M4, and its 50-caliber chamber leaves one Special Forces veteran impressed.
Yeah.
He said, wow, that's sweet. The fact that they actually got a 50 caliber on an AR-15 frame is remarkable.
It is remarkable. And it comes with steady shot, like a camera, so that you can shoot from a helicopter and not miss a cowering animal.
Actually, this gun, here's some fun facts. It could easily take down an elephant or a polar bear. One hunter said, I wouldn't hunt caribou with it. There really wouldn't be a lot left to eat.
From 18 blocks away, which is real hunting.
The guy that made the gun said, I feel like the NRA has done a lot for my rights, and the governor has, too. I just wanted to give something back. That's quite the gift to
Well, you know...
Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!
Okay.
Everybody run! The ex-beauty queen's got a gun!
Yes,
oh, Judy Brown. I have a chip on my shoulder. I grew up in Kentucky with hunting and all that stuff. My dad fires flintlock rifles. My dad's a flintlock rifle champion. Like with shotguns and all that kind of stuff, skeet shooting and yada yada. But But hunting has now become sniper sports as opposed to...
Yeah.
Let me explain to something about any hunters who are listening who really think like the way the modern hunter has gone. They sit in these little hovels covered in deer pee so that they draw the animal to them, which is like covering yourself in musk and sitting in a singles bar and then shooting anyone who asks you if they can buy you a drink. and then they park by the water hole, the only one for miles, and of course an animal is going to come by. And then they shoot it while playing Game Boy from, you know, 100 yards away and wait till it dies to go anywhere near it. Alexander the Great once killed 1,000 game animals, rhinos, tigers, everything. Within 6 weeks, he killed 1,000 game animals. He did it in a skirt with a knife and a spear, and he's gay. So anytime you think hunting automatically makes you tough because you've got a high-powered AR-50 and you can shoot something from 16 miles away from a helicopter, get on the ground and kiss it. I don't think you're not a hunter unless you smell its breath while it's dying. That's my rule.
Yikes.
Yeah!
Like Rambo, you know, lash your super knife to the end of a stick and live off pig in an old abandoned coal mine for a week.
Give it a chance to take you out.
Absolutely.
That's a sport.
That's sporty.
All right. Yeah. Don in Rockford, Illinois, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hey, Don.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Listen, what about repentance? I mean, you guys have talked about Christianity today, and not the magazine, but you guys. And repentance is the gospel message. You've done this. You shouldn't do it. Now you know you shouldn't do it. Repent and don't do it again.
Uh-huh.
If you do repeat those offenses, repentance is still the key, as in the prodigal son, you know, and you return to you know, the path of righteousness, or you know, the narrow path that Jesus talks about.
Right.
It doesn't talk about the fact that it's a wide open tent where whatever goes is whatever goes.
And however, well, yeah, and I think there's a greater point to be made in that basically modern Christianity in some ways has become the equivalent of the modern flesh toilet, in that every Sunday you flesh away your sins and then you just start sinning again immediately. And
isn't
I think
that,
what, what's your point in regards to what we were talking about, Don?
Well, you know, it's the reason that I recoil from your positions, from your political point of view, is that it's just all vitriol and ad hom attack, and you know, it seems so hypocritical.
Based on what have I said today that's vitriol or that's attacking someone?
Well, for one thing, the Christianity, the dedication to Christianity that this Miss California woman has.
We're just saying that there's
people find it somewhat
hypocritical
that she is moralizing that gay people are wrong when, you know, you can judge or not her nude pictures.
Not attacking her Christianity in any way, shape, or form.
But her assertion of it is the other thing, because people can sell themselves based on their Christianity. But a good example is Newt Gingrich, for example, who is a recent addition to the Catholic Church, has been pushing the Christian rights agenda for decades, but is on his third wife and served his second wife divorce papers on her deathbed. Basically, she was recovering from cancer surgery. So that's the argument I think we have, is that you can't just say that because you're a Christian, you identify as a Christian, you are completely, you get a pass and you don't get to be called out for what you're saying. And I think that's where we're making the case, is that she's coming out and saying gay people don't have the right to be who they are. This is not even, she's saying that gay is a choice, basically, and that, you know, if they just choose a more moral statute, they'd be okay. But meanwhile, I can choose to do anything in my sexual life and I get a pass.
Isn't that exactly the same with me and my marriage? I mean, I've been married 19 years, and, you know, I heard you joking around the other just about 20 minutes ago about the fact that, you know, certain parts of a meal gets boring if you have the same meal all the time. But you look at life through different
He's saying a lot of people feel that, obviously, because there is clearly a lot of cheating going on in the country.
Right. And I'm just saying you would be served more with an honest conversation. I don't think you have to act on it necessarily, but I do think an honest conversation would save a lot of this.
I don't think I can have an honest conversation with a progressive without you guys shouting me down.
Shouting you down?
You've shouted me down. I've called now, four times, and I get shouted down and hung up on basically at the end of every conversation.
Well, we hang up on everybody. We only have so much time.
Right.
No offense.
But I'm listening to your show because I think you make good points. There's parts of this. I'm not a good...
Well, let me ask you something. So do you think that nude pictures are immoral?
They are definitely not. They're definitely immoral.
You don't. They are immoral.
They are immoral, yes.
Okay, so you understand where people think that's hypocritical for her to imply that gay people are immoral.
No. Did she sign a paper saying I won't be in news
photos? Yes,
she did.
Which is why she'll probably lose her crown.
Okay, well, see, this is where if we can have a discussion, mm-hmm. you could say your point's absolutely valid.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of our discussion, especially when you guys bring up Christianity all the time, the fact of the matter is she didn't do what was right. So even because she did something that was wrong doesn't prove somebody else is wrong as a right. We learned that in kindergarten that two wrongs don't make a right.
Hold on, but that's not what we're never ever actually arguing the merits of Christianity itself. But here's the thing. Christianity has been used politically as a sales tool, especially in the last 8 years, but certainly since the Reagan era, to push a certain agenda. These people have been elected on these principles and the false idea of these principles for decades, and always predicated on they're going to stop Roe v. Wade, they're going to limit gay rights, they're going to do all these things, and they never get around to doing it because, quite frankly, they don't care to. They use it as a tool to motivate Christians to vote for them, but then they don't actually do anything about it. And so basically, it's their hypocrisy we're dealing with.
Yep.
Well, I disagree because with this hate crimes legislation that has passed, if I preach at my church,
it has nothing to do with it.
Right. It only has to do with being violent.
If you beat someone to death for being gay, then you get an extra time added to your sentence because you're more dangerous to abstract
Don,
people.
You can say whatever you want. This has nothing to do with thought or with speech.
You can say anything.
Yes, all right. Don, you make a good point, and you know what that means? I'm going to shout at you and slam the phone down now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 44.
That's the argument to keep yourself on the radio longer. Yeah.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour. Man fight. Rush Limbaugh and Colin Powell will be back with that and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Go ahead. Laugh out loud in your cubicle. Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Check it out now. It's the Stephanie Miller Show with way cool guests like Hal Sparks live in studio.
Thanks.
1-800.
Yes,
he is a
true.
Funk soul brother.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the number. 49 minutes after the hour, George in Tempe, Arizona, in Miss California. Hi, George.
Hey, you know, I rarely are you going to hear me defending Christianity in any way, shape, or form. I, as you are, Chris, I'm an atheist. But, you know, when did Christianity and nudity become mutually exclusive?
Right.
Now, I understand that she might have broken the rules because she signed a promise not to pose for nude pictures.
Yes, that would be bearing false witness, I suppose, if you signed a contract that would still qualify under the Ten Commandments.
I don't think Christianity would ever be propagated if nudity were...
Right. I signed a morals contract, didn't I, Chris? I'm sure I did.
Well, you do the show in the nude, and I appreciate it, for
thank
one.
Thank you, and I appreciate your appreciation.
Absolutely.
I saw my contract as I agree to have no morals of any kind, so I have...
Sweet.
Fulfilled that.
I do agree with him that there's no reason why. I mean, obviously, God didn't create us with clothes on, if you want to argue that point. Sir Adam and Eve, the fig leaf was their idea.
Exactly. I think there's one thing we can all agree on this morning, and that is, let's smoke a doob.
But I think it's time for a debate. And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
Woohoo! Smoke if you got them down in front of home.
When I broke my femur, I needed the medical marijuana.
It's
and these guys
fantastic.
But the ban, you know.
It's a little easier to argue for the legalization of pot when there's a video and film of you in the 70s smoking giant doobies. So I really can't.
Of this nature.
I can't come against it. These types of things.
It's hard for me to be against it because there I am with the doobie.
Right, the giant doobie.
And the roots and the...
Yeah, things.
That's what it does make it, you know, and that's where actually the argument is actually coming, is it's harder to find politicians and adult people in power positions who haven't gone through that phase because of the 60s and the 70s. And so you don't have, like, the children of the 50s.
Right.
Who were, you know, whose parents were alive during Prohibition.
Right.
You know, who are like, we must be teetotalers. We are the moral compass for everything. And, you know, and so now he can't really go, I'm totally against it. And steroids as well.
Yeah, right.
Because they only got a big career and large muscles and a hot
cheeks.
Wife and girls. And yeah.
All right. So
don't do that. It's not work out well for you.
Hal, you're probably a little beside yourself. What with the whole rebranding of the Republican Party and all? The listening tour.
Yes, the listening
tour. Has you all a Twitter.
Which is not a listening tour.
Not a listening tour.
Eric Cantor.
That's crazy.
Yes. Not a listening tour.
Because Rush said it was.
This is not a listening tour.
No.
You think about what we saw a couple weeks ago on the Tea Parties. The American people are very frustrated that they really see a government in Washington that doesn't hear them.
The Republicans must be so upset that now that they're the way you should make fun of Al Gore's voice, that he sounded vaguely gay, and they used to use that as a whipping point, you know.
Eric
Cantor's really kind of...
It's
not a listening tour. That would be gay. To listen to people and be empathetic is activist code for gay.
Except that was calling for a listening tour.
Exactly. Let's go to a pizza joint and hang out with Jeb.
So, former Secretary of State Colin Powell blasted Rush Limbaugh during a speech in which he said the Republican Party is in a state of collapse. He's like the only one telling it like it is. He said the GOP is getting smaller and smaller. That's not good for the nation. He lashed out at Limbaugh and Ann Coulter. Neither serves the party well, Powell said. He said, I think what Rush does as an entertainer diminishes the party and intrudes or inserts into our public life a kind of nastiness we would do better without. He said the Republican Party's in deep trouble. The party must realize the country has changed. Americans do want to pay taxes for services. Americans are looking for more government in their life, not
Americans
less.
Do not want roads. They do not want Colin Powell telling them that the person he voted for because he was black should be able to spend tax money to build bridges.
I'm high.
You're paraphrasing. I am, in fact, medicated.
You're paraphrasing, right, but that's pretty much what
he's just mad at me because I'm the one person in the country that had the guts to explain his endorsement of Obama. Mm. It was purely and solely based on race.
Mm.
There can be no other explanation for it.
Mm. Like my support.
What Colin Powell needs to do is close the loop and become a Democrat. Instead of claiming to be a Republican interested in reforming the Republican Party. He's not.
He's going to chase every last reasonable Republican out of the party.
Leave!
Both of them.
I'm baked. here's my big issue with it. You and CNN has been probably the worst on this. MSNBC, God love them, but they also do this. Is everybody's arguing for what's next for the Republican Party? How can the GOP rebrand and rebuild itself? Screw them.
Yeah.
Let them go. I would rather see a substantive argument between progressive and conservative and moderate Democrats and say a rising Green Party or even a libertarian wing.
Go party with the Whigs in the political boneyard.
Exactly. How about this? How about Ron Paul? You take all the crazies with a point and actually form a party of your own, of independents that actually kind of sort of make sense and have some sense about them. And then the kind of neo-Christic psycho... this is not American speaking foreign languages and inclusion. That's not America. America was built on separation and white people.
Yes. I hope they listen more to Dick Morris. That's what
Coulter,
I hope.
Coulter, who I often think is too far to the right, she's perfect for these times.
Huh?
You need somebody to articulate the Republican message so that when Obama fails, there's an alternative. Mm. And if Obama doesn't fail... nothing we say is going to matter.
Yep, she's the man for that job,
Ding.
That's for sure.
I think the key phrase is the end, and that's really what they're dealing with. That's the big fear, is that when he doesn't fail the way they're expecting him to. And here's the thing, Bush's failures are stunning. I mean, they're historical.
Epic proportions,
on the scale of presidential failure, they've set a new standard entirely. They like leap the bell curve into this kind of diverticulitis decolony version of what a bell curve is. Their own cul-de-sac of failure. And where were these guys when that was happening?
If you Google failure, you get George Bush, don't you?
Yeah, arguably. I mean, if you wiki it, if you do anything right now, he's so bad, his poll numbers are still going down, and he's not in office. His poll numbers have actually gone down since he left office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen to the Sean Hannitys more. That's what I'm
saying. Colin Powell's back in the headlines and is once again attacking conservatives like Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter. So is he right that the GOP needs to move more to the left? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Mark Levin tells me not to think so.
Sanity, schmanity, Hannity. That's what I like to call him. The what character was he in our gang? Do you remember which one was he? I always forget. Now, I know Beretta was
Spanky.
Scotty.
Dopey.
Alfalfa, he was Dopey. That's right. Yeah, he's got, still got the same haircut. I don't care what you look like. That's your own business. Your face is your own genetic problem, but your hair has got to be an issue. And if you still look like your mother licks her hand and wets it down before you go to work, it's hard to take you seriously.
Jeff in Atlanta, I'm being hung up on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, as a listener to Liberal Radio, let me say, it seems like every time somebody conservative calls in, they spend half of my listening time whining and crying. It's like, you hurt my feelings. Don't cut me off. Don't hang up on me.
Right.
Exactly.
Make your point, right, and do what with it, and then
take your medicine,
and then you go away.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Thank you for calling, Jeff.
Right. But you know what the funny
thing
is?
See, liberals are mad enough to get hung up on repeatedly on my show.
They learn that on conservative websites. That's one of those little talking points they get when you call up and tell them, immediately call them out for they're going to hang up on you. And then.
Oh, Hal Sparks is doing an event for the Humane Society. How can we find out about that?
Go to their website. It's actually to support, it's against dog fighting. So it's an event we're doing this weekend, Saturday. So.
Here in Los Angeles area. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.